flown, I have sailed. I have moved about this world of ours, and ever in search of the finest of its kind, we bring you the tops in Spine Chillers.
You are listening to Radio Masterpieces on Valley 104.9, serving Duval, Carnation, and Redmond Ridge.
I used to fall in love with all those boys in the mall, these fine ladies. But now I tell each young gazelle to go to hell. I mean, Katie, for since I come to tell, for such a sweet millionaire, while tearing off a game of golf, I may make a play for the caddy, but when I do, I don't follow through, 'cause my heart belongs to Jack. If I invite a boy some night to dine on my fine cinnamon patty, I just adore his asking for more, but my heart belongs to Daddy. Yes, my heart belongs to Daddy, so I simply couldn't be bad. Yes, my heart belongs to Daddy. So I want to warn you, laddie, though I think you're perfectly well, that my heart belongs to daddy, 'cause my daddy he treats it so well. Yes, my heart belongs to Daddy, so I simply couldn't be bad. Yes, my heart belongs to Daddy, Daddy, so I want to warn you, laddie, so I think you're perfectly well, that my heart belongs to Daddy, 'cause my daddy, he treats it so well. He treats it and treats it and then he treats it. Yes, Daddy, he treats it so well.
This is Bruce Kaplan welcoming you back to another episode of Radio Masterpieces. Hope you're all having a great weekend, and to all you wonderful fathers out there, just happy Father's Day. We just listened to the great Mary Martin singing about Daddy, and we're going to hear a little bit more about fathers on this program, but basically we're going to have two wonderful thrillers for you. First from the Whistler series, and the second one is kind of an unusual thriller. It's very macabre and supernatural. I'd really love to hear what you'd like to hear. If you'd just like to write me at bruce@radiomasterpieces.com, I'll be sure and get back to you. Just have a wonderful weekend. Happy Father's Day. Thank you so much for tuning in. And now let's enjoy our great Radio Masterpieces of yesteryear.
Now the Whistler's strange story, The Waterford Case.
Like all murders, it had a vague and tangible beginning. As Elaine walked home from the trial that afternoon, she tried to put her finger on it, ran back in her mind over the months that saw it develop from a stray thought into the headlines in the afternoon editions just hitting the stands. Son guilty of father's murder. Richard Waterford, Jr. to die in chair. Waterford Eyre guilty. And for the life of her, she couldn't remember exactly when the idea was actually born. Certainly that day at the beach club with Dick and Margaret had little to do with it. Although it was in her mind even then, as she walked toward them, wondering what they were saying.
Oh, that water's cold.
Dick, you're all wet. Stop. People are looking.
Let him. Oh, I love you, Margaret Winters. Well, is that bad?
No. No, it's too good to be true.
I mustn't worry about Waterford Sr. Dad's not as tough as his growl.
He'd do more than growl if he could see you now.
You know, I used to be the fair-haired boy. Only child, son and heir, et cetera, et cetera. Little Richard could do no wrong.
Then I came along, hmm?
Oh, no, nothing as uncomplicated as that. Whatever's happened between Dad and me began long before I met you.
What did happen, Dick?
She did, mostly.
Who? Elaine?
Yeah. Cousin Elaine. She's around here today. You'll probably...
Hello, Richard.
Oh.
Elaine. Why, hello. Nice of you to drop in. We were just talking about you. Say, that's a funny thing, Elaine. You always manage to show up
Don't
when I...
Don't forget your manners, Richard.
What? Oh, sorry. Meg, this is my cousin, Elaine.
Hello, Elaine. I was most anxious to meet you, Miss Winters. Richard has spoken of you so often at home.
How did you know you'd find us here, Elaine? I thought I'd camouflaged our trail pretty well.
Really, Richard, I hope you don't think I've been following you. The fact is, I was on the boat this morning, and I decided to take a stroll along the beach before going home. I saw you from the boardwalk. You should have Richard take you out to the boat sometime, Miss Winters. Very pleasant and much more secluded.
Well, I'd love it, but I'm allergic to deep water. Can't swim a stroke.
Oh? Well, I've enjoyed meeting you, Miss Winters.
Likewise.
Oh, what a beautiful ring. Oh,
thank you.
Family heirloom, I suppose.
Well, it may be someday, I hope. At the moment, it's just an engagement ring.
Oh.
Wish us luck, Elaine.
I'll see you at home, Richard.
So long, Elaine.
Wow.
Well, that did it.
What do you mean?
Oh, she'll go straight to Dad.
I know it.
Oh, it doesn't matter, darling. Sooner there's an understanding, the sooner you and I can set up housekeeping. And this is as good a time as any.
No, Elaine, that wasn't the beginning, was it? The feeling has always been there through all the years you've spent with Dick and his father in that great gloomy tomb of a house. Years spent in a careful campaign of subtleties, half-truths, outright lies. So that now the affection between father and son has cooled into a kind of forced cordiality. There are lots of possibilities in the situation, aren't there, Elaine? Now that you have the kind of ammunition you've been looking for...
Stop prowling around the room and sit down, Elaine. Dick will be here directly.
Uncle Richard, how can you let that Winters girl and her father get away with everything you've worked for all your life?
Why are you so worried? You'd lose nothing either way.
I'm a Waterford. Your brother was my father. He worked himself to death making a million for you. You think I want them to go to her?
Your father was stupid, but he was talented. I was sorry to lose him.
If it hadn't been for his brains, you'd be penniless, and you know it.
Yes, and I suppose my gratitude should take the form of a handsome bequest to his daughter. Or perhaps you feel that the entire Waterford estate should rightfully belong to you. Avarice is a good thing, Elaine, but only when you know how to hide it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You rang, sir?
Tell Mr. Richard I want to see him at once.
At once, sir.
What are you going to do?
Bought her an engagement ring, has he?
They wanted me to be the first to know. Wanted my blessing.
I hope you wish them every happiness.
What are you going to do?
Disown him.
What?
You'd like that, wouldn't you, Elaine? My only other living relative. If I disown my own son...
You probably will the money to a cat hospital.
Good idea, girl. I'd never have thought of it. Come in.
Evening, Dad. I'm glad you... Oh. Hello, Elaine. You're looking nice and sleek this evening. How does it taste?
How does what taste?
The canary you've just swallowed.
Sit down, Richard.
I'll be in my room if you want me.
Stick around, Elaine. You'll hear better on this side of the door.
Keep a civil tongue in your head, Richard. All right, Elaine. I'll call you if I want you.
You leave the library door ajar, walk up the stairway to the landing and stand there, listening to the voices of Dick and his father growing louder and angrier, watching Simpson, the butler, walk across the hall and stop to listen too. A vague, shadowy picture is beginning to form in your mind, a picture clouded over with hatred for the old man. Something about a court of law, with Simpson telling the jury what he heard tonight.
Deliberately disregarding my wishes, knowing how I felt about this affair of yours.
It isn't an affair, Dad.
You irresponsible young fool. I spent twice the years of your lifetime building the organization that you're heir to. And the man you want to make your father-in-law is still trying to tear it down. He could never take over from me, so he thinks he'll do it through my son.
Don't say that.
Richard, this is my final word. You're not to see this woman again. You understand?
Dad,
I... quiet. You disobey me and continue your relations with her, and I tell you this. I'm in a position now to ruin that larcenous father of hers and his whole miserable brood. I can buy him out lock, stock, and barrel. Send it back to writing market figures on a blackboard. It's where he belongs anyway. And I'll do it, Richard, if you persist in this foolishness. I didn't bring up my son to see him throw my life's work away on a cheap...
Shut up!
All right, Richard. You may go now. When you're quite ready to talk sense, you can come back. And remember what I said.
All right, Dad. I'm moving out tonight to the club. But there's one thing I want you to remember. I love Meg and we're going to be married. And if you do anything to bring a single moment's unhappiness to that girl, I swear I'll kill you.
Yes, Elaine. It had come about gradually. The jealousy was always there, of course, and the awful, nagging desire for the money that was Richard's. The money you felt was rightfully yours. But if there was any point at which the thing changed from a vague feeling into a concrete plan of action, it was at this exact moment, as you stood on the landing, your knuckles white on the banister, listening to Dick shouting...
If you do anything to bring a single moment's unhappiness to that girl, I swear I'll kill you!
Simpson hurries away, and Dick comes out of the library like a dark cloud, grabs his hat, stomps out of the house.
Elaine? Elaine?
Yes?
Come in here.
Yes.
Get the pad on the desk. I want you to take a wire to McCormick in the San Francisco office. Ready?
Yes.
Reopen investigation. Possibly obtain controlling interest. John Winters Corporation. Do not use Waterford name. Advise soonest.
Is that all?
Yes, send it.
You think that'll stop for marriage?
Winters is in Europe. They won't marry until he returns, and by that time I'll have him over a barrel. I can see old John Winters letting his daughter marry the son of the man who ruined him.
Well, Elaine, your mind is made up now, isn't it? There's no hope that the old man will disinherit his son for defying him. He was one jump ahead of you, wasn't he? The inheritance is slipping out of reach, Elaine, unless you do something about it, and quickly. Perhaps a visit with Dick at his club.
It's open.
Good morning, Richard.
Well, I didn't expect to see you so soon after last night.
I brought you your shaving things.
Thanks. What do you want, Elaine? You didn't come here just to make sure I wouldn't grow a beard.
You are a boor, Richard. He wants to see you.
Dad?
Yes.
Wants to see me?
Yes, Dad. He wants you to come to the house tonight at around 9 o'clock.
Oh, what is this, Elaine? You know the old man would never break down and make the first move this way. It isn't like him. Is this some private scheme of yours?
Please, Richard.
You mean to tell me he sent you to tell me
this? Well, of course.
Oh. Well, I suppose I better humor him, huh? What time did you say?
9 o'clock.
Okay. 9 o'clock.
You're amazed at yourself, Elaine. You seem to know exactly what you're doing, as if you've been planning it for weeks. At home in Dick's room, you find what you're looking for. The German Luger pistol he brought home from Europe, and a clip of cartridges. You load it, leave it in the drawer, ready for 9 o'clock.
Randy?
Yes, Simpson. Has Mr. Waterford finished his dinner?
I believe he has, miss. And I'm to bring him his coffee in the library now. If you should want anything later on, just ring. I'll not be going out this evening.
Wait, what did you say?
I said I wasn't going out this evening, miss.
But this is your usual night off, isn't it?
Yes, miss, but cook had to leave early. And I promised I'd clear up for her. Ah, I hope it's all right, miss.
Look here, Simpson. Don't you attend some sort of meetings on your evenings off? Seems to me you had mentioned once or twice you had a...
Yes, Miss Elaine.
Well, should you be there tonight?
Oh, I should really, miss, but...
Well, you go on, then.
Oh, I couldn't do that, miss. If Mr. Waterford should find the dinner things hadn't been cleared away...
Oh, you can do all that when you get back, Simpson. I'll see that it's all right with Mr. Waterford.
Very well. Thank you, miss.
You listen in the hallway until Simpson leaves. The old man is sitting in the library now, stuffed and dozing, with the radio going full blast like it always does. 9:20. Dick would have left the club by now, but must make sure. A phone call.
Hello? Is Mr. Waterford Jr. there, please? How long ago? I see. Did he take a taxi, do you know, or did he drive his own car? Well, never mind, it doesn't matter. What? Oh, his own car. Thank you. Thank you very much.
His own car. Good. No taxi driver to serve as a possible alibi. No time to be lost now. You put on a pair of gloves and get the Luger from Dick's room. Carefully, you wipe off all traces of fingerprints. Downstairs, you open the library door quietly. The old man is slumped in his chair, snoring softly. Silently, you edge over toward him, the radio blaring away in the corner, loud enough to cover even the sound of a gunshot. You raise the gun. Take careful aim. You can't miss. It's point blank. You lay the gun on the floor where it can be easily seen. Leave the radio blaring away and slip out of the room, closing the door after you. Upstairs now. Quickly. You glance at your watch.
9:03. I'm ready.
Dad, you in there? Dad, you must be asleep. Dad, good Lord. Simpson! Simpson! Elaine! Isn't anybody here? Elaine!
Richard!
Elaine!
Richard, what's the matter?
What are you doing with that gun?
Dad, he's been shot. I found him,
What?
Don't go in there. I'm gonna call the police.
The police? Oh, no, wait! Richard, your gun! You've got to get rid of it!
My gun? Elaine, you don't think that I came in, I found him, the gun was on the floor. I must have picked it up, I don't remember. Wait a minute. My gun. What was it doing down here? Who could have... Elaine.
I was in my room. Richard, what are you trying to say?
I don't know what I'm trying to say. I'm going to call the police.
Mm-hmm.
The Honorable Mr. Richard Waterford, Jr. A murder charge, staring him in the face, insisting on calling the police. He's playing right into your hands, isn't he, Elaine? The rest of the pieces fall into place like a jigsaw puzzle.
Go on, Miss Waterford.
I was in my room. I heard the radio playing and Richard shouting. He was downstairs in the hallway with the gun in his hand.
Elaine, you're making it seem as though
I... Quiet, please. You'll have your chance to talk at the trial.
Now, Miss Winters, you were aware that Mr. Waterford objected to your marrying his son?
Yes, I was.
You were also aware that Mr. Waterford intended to do everything in his very considerable power to prevent it?
Well, I knew that he would.
And were you aware, too, that on the day before the crime, the accused was heard having a violent argument with his father in which he threatened to kill him?
No! No, I wasn't! I wasn't!
I heard him say something like, "I love Megan, we're going to be married. If you do anything to bring unhappiness to that girl, I swear I'll kill you."
Gentlemen, the jury, have you reached a verdict?
We have, Your Honor. We, the jury, find the defendant guilty as charged.
Well, that's that, Elaine. For a day or two, the headlines howl like banshees. Waterford murderer to die in chair. Richard Waterford guilty. Inherits father's fortune, but won't live to spend it. Then things begin to quiet down, and you wait for the law to take its course and leave you sole heir to the Waterford millions. Then, Elaine, out of a clear sky, a new headline. Waterford heir to marry on eve of execution.
I suppose you know what's happened, Mr. District Attorney.
That depends, Miss Waterford.
You know what I mean. You can't let them go through with this marriage. It's illegal.
Sit down, Miss Waterford.
I'm sorry. It's such a shock seeing it in the papers. It's true, then.
Is what true?
Richard and Margaret, they're going to be married.
Why, yes, I believe they are.
But how can you let a man marry on the day of his execution? It's torture.
It was his last request. Since Miss Winters agreed, there was no reason to refuse it.
Oh, I've never heard of anything so fantastic. Isn't it enough that you got him convicted? Isn't it enough that he's going to the chair? How can you stand by and see him married when you know he's going to die a few hours later? Please, oh, please, you must stop it. You must. Don't you see, Richard mustn't marry Margaret.
Why, Miss Waterford?
Why? Well, because it's inhuman.
Is that the only reason?
Yes. That's the only reason. I suppose you've read the papers, Elaine. Then it is true. Yes. Well, aren't you going to congratulate us? Wish us lifelong happiness?
Margaret, I've just come from the district attorney's office.
The district attorney? Has Dick been...
No, my dear. I went there to get him to stop the marriage.
Oh. Margaret, how can you do this to Richard?
He wants it this way. I have no right to refuse.
No right to refuse? You have no right to do anything but refuse. Richard is sitting in the death cell this very minute. Don't any of you see what a marriage ceremony would do to him? How can you be so inhuman? The least you can do...
Please.
What do you think it's doing to me? Do you think I want it this way? Do you think I want to become Dick's widow 3 hours after I become his wife?
Oh, how cruel of me, dear. Of course, I'm sorry. I was thinking only of Richard.
But don't you see that's just why you mustn't go through with it? For him, it'll all be over a few hours after you're married. But you, Margaret, you'll have to live through it all the rest of your life. You could never marry again. You could never face another minister as long
Stop
as you
it,
live.
Lady.
Oh, Margaret, dear, you mustn't do this thing. For your own sake, because Richard is beyond your help now. He'll understand. I'll gladly go.
No, Elaine. Dix asked me to marry him, and I've accepted. I don't care about anything else. I don't care what happens afterward. I'm going to marry him.
All right, Margaret. I suppose there's nothing more to be said.
Excuse me. Yes?
Miss Winters, there's some reporters downstairs that want to see you.
Oh. Please send them away. I can't see anybody now.
Yes, Miss Winters.
Why don't they leave me alone? I don't know what I'll do if they don't stop coming here. They've given me any peace since Dick. Try. Why don't you go away, Margaret?
I can't. Not now, anyway.
Oh, I don't mean far away. Just for a few days until it's time to go to Richard. You could stay on the launch. It has living quarters. It's anchored just a little way out in the bay. There'd be no one to disturb you there. You could tell him to come for you when it was time.
I could do that, couldn't I?
Well, I'll come with you if you like.
Well, they'll find out. They'll know
oh,
where
you I... won't tell a soul, dear. There now. I'll go home and pack a few things. I'll meet you here in an hour.
So this is the last move, Elaine. Just this one more and it's all over. There's nothing left between you now. Nothing to keep you from your inheritance. Yes, there's every reason to believe Margaret, frantic, despondent Margaret, had committed suicide. A better reason, in fact, than the one the prosecution advanced to convict Dick of his father's murder.
Get away from me, Elaine, I tell you.
No, you don't.
No.
Quick, Keith.
I got her.
Let me go. Take your hands off me.
You all right, Miss Winters?
Yes, thank you.
She was going to kill herself. I was trying to stop her.
I wouldn't do any more talking if I were you, Miss Waterford.
How did you get here?
Miss Winters suggested it.
Margaret.
You had every motive for killing your uncle. We knew it from the first. But everything else pointed to Dick. Quite unofficially, we decided to give you the opportunity of either clearing yourself completely or convicting yourself.
You mean Richard and Margaret? The marriage?
There wasn't going to be any marriage. We wanted to see if Margaret was right. If the loss of the Waterford millions would force you to try a second killing.
You're wrong. I
wouldn't talk anymore if I were you. You're under arrest for murder.
Silver-haired daddy of mine. If I could recall all the heartaches, dear old daddy, I'd cause you to bear. If I could erase those lines from your face and bring back the bow to your hair. If God would but grant me the power just to turn back the pages of time, I'd give all I own if I could but atone to that silver-haired daddy of mine. I know it's too late, dear old daddy, to repay for the sorrow and care. Though dear mother is waiting in heaven just to comfort and solace you there. If I could recall all the heartaches, dear old daddy, I'd cause you to bear. If I could erase those lines from your face and bring back the gold to your hair. If God would but grant me the power just to turn back the pages of time, I'd give all I own I could but atone to that silver-haired daddy of mine.
Broadcasting from our Lower Snoqualmie Valley studios, Valley 104.9 FM is KAPY-LP, Duval, Carnation, and Redmond Ridge.
Here is a tale, Time on My Hands, as it is written in the pages of the sealed book. Our story begins in one of the cells of the state penitentiary. Joe Martin, his face white and tense, is speaking to Father Dolan.
Father Dolan, I'm not faking insanity. I'm not. Everything I've told him is true. Look, you can make him see why it can't be tonight, why it mustn't be tonight. Oh, even if it's only put off until tomorrow, that'll be all right. Then I'll know that what Mr. Benedict said won't come true. Listen, this is how it happened. It all started late one night last September. It was awful cold. It had been getting darker and darker all afternoon. Then, just about midnight, the storm started.
You can't sleep here in the park, Joe. Not with all this rain coming down.
Yeah. Oh, it's really pouring now, ain't it? I still ain't raised the price of a flower. Oh, I just about sell myself to the devil for the price of a bed. Hey, look.
Huh? What's that you're picking up?
It's a fountain pen, see? I can hock it. Maybe I can get the price of a bed.
It's only a two-bit pen. You couldn't get a cent for it.
Well, I'm going to have a try. What can I lose?
Okay, and I'm heading downtown. I'll see you later.
Yeah, if I don't keel over first. Ooh, coming down so hard, you can't see more than a couple of feet ahead. Oh, my feet are wet. I feel hot and cold. Hot and cold. Oh, here's Rand's pawn shop. Come on. Oh, no. Closed. No luck. Never no luck. Try Morris's place. Right along here somewhere. Yeah. Hey, here it is. Closed, too. Why does this have to happen to me? Arnold's hawk shop has got to be open. I can't see his window. Coming down so hard, it's got to be open. Nobody's lucking me that bad. Be open. Closed. He's closed, too. Now what? I gotta keep walking or I'll keel over. No one in sight. I'm all alone. No friends, no place. No. What's that? A hawk shop? Never noticed this place before. Must be a new one. Here, I gotta get in. Gotta get some dough for this pen. I gotta. Must be the boss up there in the back of the shop working on his books.
Good evening.
Good evening. You're new on the street, huh?
Why, yes, I am. But I've been in this business quite a number of years. Quite a number. You have something you desire to pawn?
Huh? Oh, yeah. This here fountain pen.
May I see it, please?
Oh, sure. It's a fine pen. Writes good, too.
I'm afraid I wouldn't be interested in that.
Well, look, mister, couldn't you let me have something on it?
I'm sorry, but this pen is worthless.
Yeah, just my luck.
Possibly... You have something else you can pawn.
Something else? Me? Well, I got time on my hands. Time. Nothing to do with it. Nothing but starve and freeze.
Then perhaps we can do business after all.
Huh?
In fact, I can make you a very handsome offer. If you're prepared to sell, say, 5 years of your life.
Sell 5 years of my life? Look, how can you buy 5 years of my life?
Oh, it's very simple. Our firm, shall I say, does it all the time. You merely sign an agreement and the 5 years are deducted from your lifespan.
You mean I die 5 years sooner than I should?
Yes, but then think how unhappy your years are. Well?
Who are you, mister?
Why, do business under a dozen different names. Benedict is as good a name as any. Now come. Are you willing to sell 5 years of your life? I'm prepared to offer you, shall we say, $1,000 a year.
$1,000 a year?
Yes, $5,000 in all. think of it. With that money, you can live as you've always wanted to live.
Yeah, I know, but 5 years.
What will they mean to you? Cold, hunger, wet feet.
Yeah, wet feet. Sure would feel good to have a new pair of shoes on my feet. You got the money here, mister?
Yes, I always pay in cash.
$5,000, huh? Sure, why not?
Why not, indeed? I'll have to look your record up in my files. What is your full name, please?
Joseph Henry Martin.
Let me see. Joseph Henry Martin.
You mean you got my name in that file?
Why, yes. We try to keep our records complete. You were born December the 22nd, 1912.
Yeah.
Your father's name was Richard. Your mother's name was Margaret.
Yeah, you're right.
Very well, Mr. Martin. Your record is satisfactory and we can do business. If you'll just sign this form, please.
Yeah, mister. This line, huh?
Yes, please. Your name in full and the date.
Joseph Henry Martin, October 5th. Yeah. What about the dough?
Of course. If you will just feel in the right-hand pocket of your coat.
Money! A handful of $500 bills!
Please count them to make sure the sum is correct, Mr. Martin.
Yeah, be glad. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It's all there. $5,000!
It's been a pleasure to do business with you, Mr. Martin. Good night.
Oh, yeah. It's a mutual. Good night. $5,000. Ah! I'm rich! Oh, am I gonna have me a time?
Come on! Service! How about some service in this hotel? I want a room, see? No. I want a suite. The best suite you got, Mac. With a bath. Never mind how I look. Never mind. I got those, see? $500 bill. Now, do I get that suite, or don't I? Six suits, brother. That's what I said. I want six suits. Tweed. Like them in the winter. Only with more color in them, see? When a guy's got dough, he wears tweeds. And I got dough, see? Any fur coat you like, baby. Just name it. Go ahead, name it. That one? Okay, mister, wrap it up. Go on, you heard what the lady said.
But one day, a little more than 3 months after Joe had come into his newfound wealth, he was shocked to learn that he was overdrawn at the bank. It seemed the $5,000 was gone. Even more, he owed a hotel bill of $400. Late that night, Joe skipped his hotel and took up residence at a cheap boarding house. One by one, his possessions began to go.
What do you mean, only... What? $10 for these suits? Look, they're worth 60 anyway. Look, Mac, I paid a tailor... $10, huh? Okay, let me have it. Only a dollar for my hat. $1. But, well, I gotta have a bed tonight, so okay. Say, Bud, can you help a fella that's down and out, huh? Huh? Can you help me out with a little something, mister, huh? Just a little... You louse. Didn't even look at me. Midnight ain't even got the price of a flop yet. Raining again. Always at rain. 4 months ago, I had $5,000, and now I ain't got a dime. I ain't got anything left to pawn. Nothing. Not even a... Wait a minute. Yeah, sure I am. Why didn't I think of that before? Benedict's pawn shop. I'm still young. I got plenty of time left. I'm going to see Benedict.
Soaked to the skin, his shoes leaking, Joe Martin trudged through the rain toward Benedict's pawn shop. He peered anxiously ahead as he approached it.
Just a little further and I'll be there. He's got to be open. He's just got to. Yeah, yeah. There's a light in his window. He is open.
Good evening.
Oh, Mr. Benedict. Remember me?
Certainly. You're Joseph Henry Martin.
Yeah, that's right. Look, how'd you like to buy another 5 years of my life from me, huh?
Just a minute, please, while I get your record from the file.
You can bet this time I ain't gonna waste my dough.
Ah, here we are. Joseph Henry Martin.
Yeah, yeah. Well, is it a deal for another 5 years, huh?
Yes, we can do business.
Ah, good.
However, Mr. Martin, I can only pay you $500 a year this time. $2,500 in all.
$2,500? Oh, but look, you gave me $5,000 for the first 5 years.
Yes, I know, but we're rather heavily stocked just now.
$2,500? I don't know. I was kind of counting on buying a farm with the $5,000.
Well, perhaps we can do business another time, when conditions are more favorable.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me think it over.
Do so, by all means. It's quite all right.
The clothes are soaked. My feet are wet. $2,500, I could... All right, it's a deal.
If you'll just sign your name and the date on this form, as before.
Okay. Joseph Henry Martin. What's the date?
January the 18th. And put down the time, Joseph. 2:02.
Yeah, 2:02. Yeah.
Fine.
Hey, I can feel a dough in my pocket again. Yeah. Yeah, 10, 15, 20, 25, 2,500, yeah. Look, hey, maybe I better sell you another 5 years, huh? I could get a much better farm for $5,000, you know.
Sorry, but I'm afraid we're not interested in any further purchases.
Why not?
You have no more time to sell.
No more? What do you mean?
According to my records, with the sale you've just made, deducted from your lifespan, you have just 2 more hours to live.
2 hours?
Yes. You're now due to die at 3:04 in exactly 2 hours.
Nah, that's a mistake. It must be.
No, Mr. Martin. I have your record right here, and our records are never wrong.
Then what did you let me sell you the 5 years for?
My dear Mr. Martin, you asked me to buy them.
Yeah, but what good is a $2,500 now? To take back your dough and give me back my 5 years.
I regret to say that there are no exchanges.
There's got to be one, you hear me? I'm warning you. You're going to give me back my 5 years, or aren't you?
I should like to oblige, but it's against our policy.
Oh, it is it? Maybe this will have you change your mind, huh?
I should put down that knife if I were you, Mr. Martin.
Put it down when I get back my 5 years, or no sooner. Do I get him?
I'm sorry to say no.
No, take that! What are you standing there smiling for? I stabbed you! You gotta fall! Fall, do you hear me? You're not even bleeding.
No, Mr. Martin, I'm not even bleeding. You'd better pick up your money and go.
Yeah, but look, don't you see? Look, give me a break, will you, mister?
You have 1 hour and 58 minutes left now. I'm sorry, Mr. Martin.
You can't let me die like this. You can't do it. You gotta give me more time, please.
Well, I think we could arrange for you to have more time if you care to sell your soul.
Huh? Sell my soul?
It's of trifling value, of course, but my firm has a certain use for such things.
My soul? I never thought very much about it. Never had any use for it myself, I guess.
Few people do. It's superfluous at best.
What was that?
Merely the clock striking the quarter hour. It's now 2:02.
2:02. All right, I'll sell. Where do I sign?
Well, unfortunately, in this matter, your signature would not be binding. There's only one way I could be certain of getting my property when the time comes.
What way is that?
You'd have to, shall we say, remove some person from this life.
You mean kill someone?
Exactly. And in return, you shall have the balance of the victim's life. You may be fortunate enough to find someone who has 30 or 40 years to live. Just think, all that time would be yours.
Yeah, but to have to kill somebody...
No, you don't have to. It's just a suggestion.
Yeah, but if I don't... Die in 2 hours.
1 hour and 47 minutes, to be exact.
No, I couldn't kill no one. Even if it means I die tonight. I can't do it, you hear me? I'm getting out of here.
That means 1 hour and 3 minutes to live.
1 hour and 3 minutes?
I gotta get out of the storm. There's a bar room. I could use a drink.
What do you have?
Double whiskey. Keep them coming. Let me have another.
Say, Pat, you already put away a bottle. Don't you think you had enough for one night?
Look, you just keep setting them up. I'm paying for it, Anna.
Okay, it's your funeral.
Don't say that!
All right. I didn't mean nothing by it.
Last time I'll ever hear a clock strike. Only 3 minutes. 3 minutes.
Did you say something?
No. What's that?
What's what?
What's that? That clock tick. Where is it?
Clock? There ain't no clock ticking in here.
There is!
Listen, guy, you had a couple too many, I guess.
Okay, I can hear it, I tell you. It's ticking, ticking. Tell me I've only got 3 minutes left.
Look, fella, it's time you was going. I don't like the way you're talking.
Yeah. Gotta get out of here. Gotta get away from that clock.
His heart pounding in his ears, Joe ran out of the bar and down the street, terror clutching his heart. Try as he would, he couldn't rid himself of one thought. The clock had just struck four. The end was fast approaching. Breathless, he came to a stop. Looked around wildly.
3 minutes to live. 3 minutes. No. Must be only two now. I don't want to die. I want to live. I want to live. I've got to do it. I've got to. Time's going so fast. The street's empty. No. Here comes somebody. Mister, you got a match?
Yeah, sure. Hey, why are you looking at me like that?
Oh, no, you're old. You must be over 70.
Yes, but
you... Ah, you're no good to me. I want someone with lots of life, man. Lots of life for me to live.
You're mad.
Wait a minute. Here comes somebody else. Somebody young. I can tell by the way he walks. Somebody with years to live yet. It's my last chance. Hey, mister.
You call me?
Yeah, you got the time?
Yeah, sure. Exactly 2.5 minutes after four.
There's only 30 seconds left. 30 seconds.
Now, what are you doing with that knife? Oh, don't.
Well, I just don't. I've done it. I've done what you said. I kill a man. I kill him, do you hear me? I kill a man.
Yes, I know you have.
I'm a murderer.
But you're alive. And as you see, it's 4:15.
Yeah. I'm alive. And his time.
I'm sure you'll put it to excellent use.
Yeah. Took his wallet so as to get his name. Poofy, I did it. His name is Frank R. Caldwell.
Frank R. Caldwell. I'll look it up in the files.
He's young. He wanted to live too, but they killed him.
Frank R. Caldwell. Here it is.
How much? How much time I got to live?
Now, let me see. His file expires on August 20th.
August 20th? What year?
This year.
This year?
Yes. You received just 7 months from him.
7 months? No, you must be wrong. He was so young.
I'm sorry, but 7 months was all he had.
No, he can't.
You'll find our records are quite correct. So your card will be removed from our files at 10 minutes after 11 p.m. on August 20th.
No. August 20th. Oh, that's wonderful. So that's what you've done to me. August 20th. Oh, no. August 20th.
That's the man who stopped me.
Oh, you, just a minute there.
Yeah, that's the man, all right. He's the one that killed that poor boy.
Yeah, come along, you. You're under arrest.
August 20th, is that 7 months? Just 7 months!
Don't you see, Father Dolan? He said I was going to die on August 20th. Oh, August 20th. So that's why it's got to be put off until tomorrow. Because today is the 20th, and if I go tonight, then he'll... 11 o'clock. 11 o'clock. No.
Sorry, Father Dolan. His time is up. You ready, Joe?
Yeah. Yeah, sure, Wooden. I'm ready. It's time for me to go, isn't it? Just the time he said I'd go.
The stream drifting by, and carved upon that tree I see I love you till I die. I shall always remember the love in your eye, the day till I die. But further on down Lover's Lane, a silhouette I see. I know you're kissing someone else. I wish that it were me. By the tree in the meadow, my thoughts always lie, and wherever you go, you'll always know I love you till I die. By that tree in the meadow, my thoughts always lie, and wherever you go, you'll always know I love you till I die.
About this world of ours, and ever in search of the finest of its kind, we bring you the tops in Spine Chillers.
You are listening to Radio Masterpieces on Valley 104.9, serving Duval, Carnation, and Redmond Ridge.
The door is slowly closing for Radio Masterpieces, but be sure and tune in again next week from 9 to 10 p.m. to listen to more wonderful mysteries from the 1940s and 50s. This is Bruce Kaplan signing off. Radio Masterpieces is a Seattle Miracle Incorporated production.